Yeah, she's not here, I think.
Sorry.
He called me up, he said, maybe a little bit more love, not as many stories, not as many stories. I go, no, 100%, 100%. But he's not here.
Yeah, we all told him for sure.
Come gather around.
Get the big stories out.
But let me just think. I didn't plan on doing this. I actually planned today on speaking Halacha because I thought he'd be here. Right? But now it's story time. So let's see. Yeah, no, for sure. Right? The Rav Schneier Cutler. This is unplanned, so let's see if it works. If it doesn't work, I'll just walk out. Nothing happened. I don't say anything. Rav Schneier Cutler. When Rav Schneier Cutler was sick, when he was sick, so Rav Yankiv, Zichrono Livracha, came to Lakewood. Rav Yankiv came to Lakewood. And he spoke in Lakewood. As in when was Shneur Nifter? I don't know, maybe 77 or 78 or something like that. Rav Yankiv was already an old man. Rav Yankiv said that Chazal say, it's a Gemara, the Gemara Bracha says, that when a Talmid Chacham is Chayla, when a Talmid Chacham is Shari Bitzar, he's in pain, he's in suffering, so then you have to make yourself sick for the Talmid Chacham. You have to make yourself sick for the Talmid Chacham. It can't just be that, he's sick and we daven and that's no. It has to be that it's such a shtar to your life that you get sick from it. You have to get sick from it. And what Rabbi Yankov did was he told different things about Rabbi Schneier that they should realize and it should make an impression on them who Rabbi Schneier was. And this was in Lakewood itself, where they obviously knew where Rabbi Schneier was. But he wanted them to understand that, like, Rabbi Schneier, what they're just seeing Rabbi Schneier is only a tip of the yam. It's only like a drop of the bucket of who's Rabbi Schneier. And the Mela afterward, they say, is mamish, like the place was mamish with tefillah and that, because they understood now who's Rav Schneir. Somebody once asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, who's the Nister Ador? It's a great question, right? Who's the Nister Ador? Right? I'm surprised you didn't say me, right? Nobody knows that, right? But who's the Nister Ador? So Shlomo Zalman answered, he thought for a moment, and then he said, you know, there's not going to be some like closet tzaddik, some guy who's a milkman, right? You know, so he puts the milk in the bag. So Shlomo Zalman, after a few seconds, said, Laser Shach. Rav Shach. So Rav Shach is like, you know, he's not the list. Ador is the most known person. He says, what you're seeing of Rav Shach is only a tipa of the yam. It's only a drop of the bucket. If you would know what Rav Shach is, you would realize that he's mamish the Nister Ador. Right? So I think it's, you know, a lot of us, we have like, we have three problems when we daven for Avarin Leit. Three problems. Problem number one, old man. That's problem number one. Old man. Right? Derech Teva, Derech HaOilam, right? Halvai, we should live that long. Problem number one. Problem number two, and all the conventional terutzim, we're davening for ourselves. And okay, so problem number one, old man. Right? Problem number two is, we don't mamish know who he is. We just know, like, you know, cut out door. It's a little bit like a different world. It's Bnei Brak and this, that, and this, and that. And That's a big problem. It's hard to daven with somebody that you don't have a real deeper understanding in the chulei v'chulei. Like even in when Rav Yashiv is sick, Rav Yashiv was your neighbor. You know, I don't know if the oilam was here then or whatever, but he was our neighbor. He was like right there. He was Rav Yashiv, so it's much easier. And Chaim Kanievsky, we hear so much about, right? And he should live in the Gezunt for years and years and years. But like we know so much about Rav Chaim, so we're connected to Rav Chaim, right? Machenker Avraham Leib, it's a little bit like a league of Gadol HaDor that we just don't really have so much of a connection. I don't know so many stories about Avraham Leib, so that's problem number two. Right? Problem two. And there's other problems, but we'll focus on that first. But those are the major problems we have in davening. Yeah. Problem number three also is, you know, maybe problem number three is you know, and what if Chalila v'Chalila, you know, it's the Klal Yisrael not lacking. What's he doing sachakol so much now as it is with Aaron Leib, right? I mean, like Maisa, he's even without being sick, he's not well man. What do you think he's sitting and he's fearing Klal Yisrael? You don't see so much, you don't hear so much from Aaron Leib in the last 6-7 months, anyways. Right, so like, okay, so you know, that's these are our problems, right? So I'm not going to address them one by one. Let me just explain first, and then you know we'll have our issues. Okay, so issue number one, old man, right? That's a grosser tayus. That's a terrible tayus. I remember when Rav Shach was always old, right? But Rav Shach was one tkufa where he was. I think he was nifter in 2003, something like that. And I think in 2000, they thought it was the end, right? And I remember that Zayis, by Rav Yashiv, I think a mincha or something, said they told Rav Yashiv that he was sick, and they said, tell him afterward. Right? I went there because I knew that he was sick, and I knew I was in the neighborhood. I was by the mirror, and I wanted to daven Rav Eliashiv, and they would say Tillim for Shachar. The mirror, I think, stopped and said Tillim for Shachar. Is it your time or it's after your time? They said, what? Yeah, you're in the time. So they stopped in the middle of the Seder and they said Tillim for Rav Shach. So I went by Rav Eliashiv. After davening, it was after Mincha, Grata, and after davening, so everybody crowds around Rav Eliashiv, asks questions and this, that. And somebody asked a question that they mamish say it's like at the end, right? It's almost like, I don't remember the question. I'll ask it in my nosach. They're smarter than how to ask the question to Rav Eliashiv. But the question was like almost begetta, like Tfil Shav. You're davening for a person who was 104 at the time. You're davening for a person who's 104 who's on a respirator. It's like it's crazy. It doesn't. It's minanimna, right? It's minanimna. So Rav Eliashiv said, Rav Eliashiv was no like shtick. He was not a darshan. He just said, look, good punch. Rav Eliashiv said, by Gedolei Yisrael, there's different rules. They could live to be 200, right? That's the end of your question. Yeah, old man. And you know what? It's a peladik maisa. But Rav Shach went on to live for 3 more years, right? Which Alpiteva made no sense. And he didn't just live in the hospital, respirator down his throat and whatever, and you know, they're pretending he's alive and pumping the whole time and, you know, adding color to his body, right? He was alive. And whatever it is, we'll see in a minute why it's so important that a God of Israel should be alive, even if he's not gaining out of it and whatever, right? And Rashach, when he was much younger, he was like 96 or 97, so it started to become very difficult for him to learn. And he certainly, at that point, he wasn't able to give shir anymore, but it became difficult for him to learn, to concentrate, and to focus. I once heard from Rechizki Mishkoski, he's one of the great mashkichim and shmuzes, he gives a gewaltige darshan, he says a gewaltige drushes. And he said that he had come back that day from Rav Shach, and Rav Shach said, I want to die, right? I want to die. And they couldn't believe what they were hearing. He says, if you would know what it was by me, Torah, you'd understand what I'm saying. And now I can't learn, right? I can't, but I know that Klal Yisrael needs me to be around. So that kashed an old man and whatever, he could live to be 200. And Rav Eliashiv, that you know, Reuven, you'll tell them, Rav Eliashiv, how many times he was sick, that it was Vaday at the end, when he did the operation for the stent. You do know what I'm talking about. You don't know I'm talking about the first operation for the stent. There was already one operation when he was younger, much younger, he's 90. And then when he was 97, there was another operation to do a stent that the best doctor in the world said it's a 3-5% chance of survival. It was almost a pella why would they ask him to do the operation? Who gives you a right to do an operation? I mean, 3-5% means survival. It means if you could die on the, you'll die on the table otherwise, right? And they passed him then to do the operation. I think that they were Chaim passing, it's a whole story. They sent their car to Chaim on Shabbos, a ganze meis. And we'll talk about in the shir how they were allowed to, they were, whatever. Okay. Talk upon him. They passed him through the operation. You know, 97, I have a kasha for everybody in this room. Don't have to work so hard to think about the kasha. 97 year old, right? 3% survival chance. No, 5. Oh, okay. Right? 3% survival rate, 5% survival rate. 97 year old man. Is he going to make it? Probably not, right? Probably not. The doctor didn't want to do it. They had to get him to be masking. He didn't want to do it. You know, nobody likes to have on his notch, you know, I killed the girl out of the door. The doctor didn't want to do it, right? It's vice to chais. By Gedolei Yisrael, there are different rules, right? It's not in the regular rules of Teva. It doesn't work like within the regular rules. He went on to live to be 103 years old, and he went on to live. Not to live to be 103. He went on to Paskin. I asked Chilas in those years. He went on to Paskin for all of Klal Yisrael. So with Gedolei Yisrael, there's different rules. So old man Kasha, doesn't ask a Kasha. That's not such a Kasha, right? The other Kasha, I'll get to the middle Kasha in a minute, that we don't really know so much about, but the other Kasha, that no, and it's other Gedolim, and what's he doing Sacha Kol anyways, and whatever. Okay, so it could get better, right? It could talk a fear again, like Rav Eliashiv. Nobody had a Havamina afterward that Rav Eliashiv would be able to go back to Koyach HaPsak. That was not even a Havamina. Right? It wasn't like even within the realm. All the little guys that went by Rav Eliashiv, like myself, there were two realms. There were the good guys and there were the little guys that would ask Rav Eliashiv. All the little guys got knocked out their slots on the spot, right? I used to have a slot every Friday that I'd go 10 minutes before the siren would go, and gone, gonzo, right? Those slots were gone. All the little guys were knocked out, right? For the duration. I'm saying, no, but I never got the slot back, and then whenever I had to go in from those years, you had to, like, you know, Mamash with Rachmei Shemayim, and right? But nobody had a Havamina, he's going to go back to Paskin, right? Nobody had a Havamina. Okay. So the Gedolei Yisrael has different rules. And the last Shaila, you know, we'll get to the middle of a minute, but the last Shaila, like, and what's he doing, Sacha Kol, anyways? So that's Mamshid this week's parsha. It's not Shreya B'chlal, right? It says that Yaakov Avinu went to Davin to learn for where was Yaakov Avinu all the years? 63 years, he was upstairs in the Beis Medrash, right? 14 years, he was in Chleis, like in the shelter, right? And he's sitting and learning. All of a sudden, Yaakov leaves the city. Tuck the pasuk, Vayetze Yaakov, Yitzia V'tzadik, Oyser Roishim, right? Echab Kasha, what was he doing in the city anyways? Right? What was he doing? He's sitting in the Beis Medrash. Nobody knew he was there. Right? Everywhere Esav's looking around. The one place he doesn't think to look is the Beis Medrash. Right? But Esav's looking around in Yeshiva's Aver, not Yeshiva's Shem Aver. The Marsha says Shem died. Right? Yeshiva's Aver. Right? So there he is in the Beis Medrash of Aver, learning. And then he leaves the city, and all of a sudden everybody says, you know, you feel it's different over here. There's no more Kiddush over here. He wasn't there anyways. He was learning. Right? But it doesn't say he was learning, says the Sfas Emes. It says the mitzias of a tzaddik in a mokim. Right? About the Bali Musar and the person learning Torah is doing things for the ganze Welt, even if you don't feel it. But the mitzias of a tzaddik is oisiration. It's oisiration. So whether or not he's doing something, he is doing something. But if chalila v'chalila, so then it makes a roishim. It makes an impression. And all those years when Rav Shach was nifter, if anybody knows, that was the worst year of all of the bus bombings that ever were. That year was worst. The worst. That year was 2003. It was the Pesach. It was bus bombings. It was a terrible, terrible year. And what was Rav Shach doing for those 3 years? He was I don't want to say it, but he was a vegetable. What we call a vegetable. He wasn't doing much, right? And Rav Eliashiv, Rav Yashiv, how much machlekes that came into the Welt after Rav Yashiv is nifter, right? So the tzia of a tzaddik is oisa roishim. So we have to understand that about, and you know what? You'll say this other tzaddikim, the Sasemis says a very nice thing. He says, why does it say here, Vayetze Yaakov, the tzia of a tzaddik oisa roishim? What? Avraham Avinu never left the place? Yitzchak never left the place? The Chiddush over here is that the Sasemis says, no, he left. Avram left. But he left and there was nobody else there. So Avada makes a roishim. Avada makes an impression, but here Yaakov left, and Yitzchak and Rivka were still there. So then, who says that him leaving is going to be such a big deal? There's other tzaddikim, whatever. No, Yitzchak of a tzaddik is oisir roishim, even if there's other tzaddikim. So all those kashas, feh, right? Kiyata shemet filas kol feh, right? Feh. Okay, but there's one kasha that, like, you guys say to me, like, okay, so he's a tzaddik and this and that, and I'll dive in more. But I don't know. Excuse me, I don't know anything about him. I don't think about it. So you have a choice. I could tell, and I don't, there really is no braver. I can't tell you all the stories. I could tell you personal stories, or I could tell you murdic stories, whichever ones you want. Right? Sometimes the personal has a mile, because, like, you know, yeah. But sometimes the murdic stories, they're like, you know, murdic stories.
Some and some.
Yeah. Oh, he's always such a troublemaker, right? Yeah. All right, I'll do some and some. You give me a cat, 11:20, right? Give me a cat, 11:20. But, I gotta pick up my daughter from God. But, okay. Let's start like this, right? A little bit of an understanding of Rav Aaron Leib. Just understand, he's from Brisk. He's not like with the conventional world of politically correct and to say it in the right way and this and that. He's Rav Aaron Leib, very strong, very sharp, very like, that's the mahalach over there. This will understand a little bit. Very, very, very emistic. Emes adasayf, no shtick. And that's like going to personify a lot of what we'll hear. That's what's personified, right? L'mashal, right? Understand. There's a certain Rosh Hashiva that has a Shiva for Bachram that are trying to find friends to go off with, whatever, you know, that type of matter. So he took this group to Israelis. He took this group to, I don't think anybody's thinking about changing Shivas, but he took this group to Rav Aaron Leib, right? Just I want to first give you a personification to understand who he is. And you'll get more of an appreciation. They took a group of these Bachrim to, I remember that Friday night, right? He davens in my shul, right? And he came over to me after, he said the story in front of everybody, like, and he's right, I need to know this story. Right? He said that they went to Rav Aaron Leib, and each Bachr went to Rav Aaron Leib and was getting a bracha. You know, and this one, the bracha for a shidduch, and this bracha, the sister doesn't have a shidduch, and this one for a tzlacha, he wants to be able to enjoy Torah, and this and that. One bracha said to Rav Aaron Leib that he needs a bracha. I'll say it in Hebrew, and I'll translate. I think anyways, I'm supposed to speak in Hebrew for a minute. And it's a bracha, shani lo esna et HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I shouldn't hate the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, k'mo shani sonet Abba Shelei. Right? If somebody would come to me and ask me that for that bracha, right, I would kill the chill. You know, everybody else, bracha for, you know, for a shidda, bracha that, like, you know, I'm having a bad hair day, you know, bracha, all the important things in life. This bracha comes to Varon Lev, just Pasha killed the whole chill. I need a bracha, I shouldn't hate my father as much as I shouldn't hate God as much as I hate my father. So, Varon Lev, he's very, very, he's a dude, right? Anytime you ever see him, he's always, like, very calm. Didn't, with, the same way he said, bracha bishvil shiduch, bracha for this, didn't change his demeanor b'chal. And he said, I don't know what your, I don't know what your father did. I don't know what your father did. It's coming to him a punishment, not coming to him a punishment, okay? Aval, it's Abba Shecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo asa lecha shum davar ra ba'olam, rak tov. He never did anything bad for you, just toif. Umela, atam medaber shtuyot. Moiridik, right? You're talking stupidity. Right? Narishkeit. Right? So what happens at the end of the story? So, of course, the Bacher went off the derech, right? And whatever. No. Huh. Bacher came back to yeshiva, right? The Rosh Yeshiva told me it was the first person that ever went like this to him. Right? Shaykhaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why being an idiot? Right? But by, let me explain. If I would have said it to the kid, it does. He has a certain koyach, right? Like that. Now, I'm going to tell you a story now. This is. I mean, you know, I don't have so many stories, but this is top 10. It's top 10. Right? Top 10. Okay? I had a Talmud that got into. I usually don't say it in recording because all the years the story was going on. Right? But now it's already over, Baruch Hashem. I had a Talmud that got into a tremendous amount of trouble on an Alilah Shav, a Sheker Mukhla. Right? Alilah Shav, it was. Lila Shavi was married, and the girl claimed to, it was kol kulo sheker, kol kulo sheker, right? And Lemaisa, he was being tried for to go to jail for 50, 60 years, for life. You know, it was very, very serious accusations and whatever. And they came to ask me. He's a Talmud, and you know, they came to ask me, like the lawyer saying there's no chance. Right, I mean, I was involved the whole time, but the lawyer is saying there's no chance. A boy like this, in the Israeli court system, it's not really negayet the kisach that he's going to be, you know. So if he would plea bargain, right, he would get 3 years, right? But he would have to admit that he did all these crimes and whatever, and that's it. And then he has on his record, but it's 3 years. The Breira, 50 years. Now, right, Rabbi Kallis is a very pragmatic kind of guy. Paisik, I do things like math, you know. So let's see. 3 years, right, jail. Okay, we'll get him back. A little bit broken, but we'll be able to put the pieces back together. Right? Okay. Potential 50 years, right? Something 50 years. And almost vadai, not much less than that. Like, we're not getting off, right? So, no brainer. So I said to him, push it. There's no shayla. I sheker. I said it. You know, we all know there's a certain terim where you're allowed to lie. And this is obviously a case where it's a bamish pekuch nefesh to send a from person into a prison and that for that type of nature. And it's a no brainer. It's a no brainer. He's a person that has a family and children and everything. A bamish bacha. He has a new family and everything's normal now. It's a destruction of a family. It's like a no brainer. Posh no brainer. There was another Rav, a much wider bearded fellow, who was the Rav of this boy's father, right? And he disagreed with me. He disagreed. He said, it's not Shaykh Sheker. What Shaykh? We didn't do it. And the Emes and the Afsiat Ishmael. And Amir was like, I couldn't even believe this conversation, right? And, you know, everybody listening to this conversation understands what I'm saying. And it's like, you know, I also am distraught about this whole thing. And don't worry, you know, the Gehenna will end and she'll still be there. Right? And if she's afraid, well, there's not enough room again, and for her, they'll build a third floor, right? You know, with an elevator, okay? Right? So, I mean, but like, you know, it's a no-brainer, but he was a longer and a wider beard, and I'm not going to argue with him, but I told him, look, you know what? I don't know, and I do know, right? And the Maisa, I was in those days by Rav Yashiv, but I didn't feel it's like the type of thing that you can. I had enough to get in with Rav Yashiv. It wasn't the kind of question that, you know, I had halacha with Rav Yashiv. This is telling a whole life story and asking an etza. So I said, look, if we could figure out a way to get to Rav Aaron Leib, we'll ask him, and that'll be it. Meaning, I was saying like this: let's get Rav Aaron Leib to say you're wrong, right? Is that, you know, you have to talk, you have to learn how to talk, right? Yeah. I'm not Rav Aaron Leib. I don't say it like that. Right? You're so wrong, what you're saying is abnormal, right? But let at least Rav Aaron Leib say it, because his beard is longer and wider, well, not longer, but wider, right? So let him be the one to say it, right? So he arranged it. And it's anyway, it's Gishman. We get a bracha from Aaron Levin, and it's Gishman. Okay, so he went to Aaron Levin. And every part of the story is extremely important for chalakim the story, even if it sounds like they're not. So it was so hot. Bnei Brak's so hot. Right? It was mamish so hot. It was so hot. It was mamish. It was like the car was schwitzing. Right? It was the street was schwitzing. Everything was schwitzing. I'm not a schwitzer, right? Everything was schwitzing. Right? The seats of my car. It was so hot. Okay. You think it's not a good story? It's not good. I got it. Oh, I tortured this bacher. This young man after, right? He's a bacher that doesn't wear a hat and jacket. Right? He doesn't usually wear a hat and jacket. Right? So I go to Aaron Leib, and he had with him a hat and jacket. It's not part of the story, but I'm just having fun now. Right? So he had a hat and jacket. I made like I didn't notice it. And then when we left the car, he forgot the hat and jacket in the car. Right? And then he said, oh, Rebbe, I forgot the hat and jacket. 1 minute. Right? So he ran back to get the hat and jacket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when he got to the door, he put on the hat and jacket. I go, you're in big trouble. Why? Why? You're in big trouble. Right? 3 hours later, you'll see in a minute what went on in the story. Right? I told him, but even, what was that? What was that? I said, the Chazal say that the way you would go to Mechubadik people, you know, my father, if you would go in front of a gadol, you would wear a hat and jacket, so then you have to wear a hat and jacket for davening. Right? If you're not the type of person that wears a hat and jacket in front of a gadol, so then fine, so you could say for that by me is not how I give off covet. But if by you, you won't go in front of a gadol without a hat and jacket, so God can't be less when you come to, you know, okay, I got him, but okay, that's that. Where's the hat and jacket now? He claimed it was one of the Kabbalahs to get, you know, but whatever. So, okay. Anyways, we go into Aaron Leib. It was very hot. I mentioned, is that? I thought, my nails were sweating. Nails. No, you think not that it came down on the finger. The nail had sweat coming out of it. Okay? It was very hot. And there was a person there. He's actually the editor of Yated. He's a very, very Ben Bais over there. And he helped, I can't say over such a child to Aaron Leib, but 3 hour, you know, a case which is like a whole lifetime. It's 8 and 3 minutes. I mean, he talked to us for about an hour and a half. And we sat there and told him all the pratim and whatever. And these guys, they know how to, like, you know, go like that. After an hour and a half, it's very hot. I'm not a schwitzer. We went into Aaron Leib after an hour and a half. Very interesting. All the other times I ever went into Aaron Leib, I got a murder giyachas, right? But before we had come in, somebody had told them what we're coming in for. And I don't know, later, you'll see, maybe it's related to the story, maybe not. Aaron Leib sits on his bed, he has a bed there, right? And he has a shtender. Some of you have seen the pictures. He sits on the bed, and he has a shtender. There's no back, obviously, and he sits on the shtender. He has over there a Yelas HaShachar, that's a sefer, and it's double print. Meaning it's double size, excuse me, right? So it's massive Dayelos HaShachar. It's like this is massive because he's getting, I guess, his own eyes and whatever, like this big Dayelos HaShachar. And he's sitting there like this, and he's not looking at us. It's very interesting because all the other stories I'm going to tell you at this time, it was totally not like that. It was Maritik Yachas whenever I brought Balkum there, Maritik Yachas. And now nothing, no, nothing. He's not looking at us. And so this person comes, we're standing over there, he's standing on the other side, and he starts telling Aaron Leib the whole story. And very strange. Aaron Leib's not looking at him and not listening. It's very strange. Okay? And he's learning. And he's telling over the whole story. It doesn't face him, but wow, he's just telling over the whole entire story. And I was like, right? And then he finishes telling the story. It was like 3 minutes. It's very hot. It felt hot. Right? My teeth were sweating. Still, right? And in that room, the silence for the next minute was earth shattering. Right? It was sweaty silence. Right? And all of a sudden, he does something which, even within the story, you might not understand. He turns the page. He turns the page. He's in the middle of reading. No yachas. Nothing. It's very strange. And he's learning. He's learning. 2 minutes goes by. 3 minutes goes by. This is like 4 Shemitah cycles that have gone by. Like almost evil, right? I'm like, I'm about to faint. Right? You know, even those matzav, I haven't eaten, I haven't this, and this is, you know. And you know, finally, in a very low voice, he says, Sheker. Sheker. Okay. Fine. Yeah. So that's it. He said, Sheker, and that's it. I said, Sheker. I know that. Right? Of course it's Sheker. Right? So, you know, right? Maybe he's saying Shekar. It's cold in here. Right? Sheker. Right? So now, that's like, you know, so does as all as I can stand. I can't stand no more. You know, that's it. I I all of a sudden, with all the chutzpah, I was much younger back then. I said, Rashiv, and I said in Yiddish because I didn't want the other guy to understand, right? I said, Rashiv, Steinish, you know, well, Steinish, he understood, right? But then I said, it's a ligand, a shagger. I go, we're talking to Mr. Shaila, Mamish Koch Nefesh. If he goes into jail, what's the Shaila in the world? What's the Shaila, right? And he was getting upset with me. No, the Rashiv is showing his off, and that's what, you know, I realized he knew Yiddish afterward, right? And, and I said, and Viter, all of a sudden, he's right there in the safer, not even looking at me, not even, so strange, so strange. I never got yachas like that before. I'll tell you a story in a minute. It was beautiful yachas. And he turns to the next page. He's been bombish knocking over there. He's about to finish the safer. You know? Okay. After 3 minutes of that silence, Rav Aaron Leib looks me straight in the eye, right? Which was like, from that, you know, until that point, there was no eye contact, nothing. Right? Looks me straight in the eye, and then he says, Sheker! Asher Yatsar, Asher Yatsar, people are like cleaning up, you know. Right? I go, Is that sir? Right? That's a dump anymore. Right? Is that sir? I'm feeling. I want to tell you before I continue, and from that point in my life, right, this is 8 years ago, from that point in my life, I have never been able to, I can't say I've never been able to, you'll see my nose go, right, but I've never been able to paskin a shayla about sheker, right, or to my on myself, paskin myself a shayla or paskin for somebody else a sheker, without hearing him scream at me, right? I'm going to tell you the truth, I don't understand it. I don't understand what he said, right? But I now understand the earth-shattering destruction of Sheker, right? And I know now how to answer the Shiloh if anybody would ever ask it to me, and I don't understand it. But that's the difference between God Lador and little small fries, little Smurfs. I don't understand it. He's Papa Smurf, right? I don't understand it. I don't. But I know now how to answer the Shiloh when somebody asks me such a Shiloh, such a nature, right? And I don't... All of a sudden, he saw it went in, like a mifus. All of a sudden, everything changed, right? He gave a bracha. It's going to be fine. It was fine, right? Peldik, it went on for 7 years, whatever, but it was fine. It wasn't so fine, but it went on. What? Acquitted. Legamri, right? Right? But, so then all of a sudden, this part of the story is unrelated, but I can't, because you all want to know why I kept talking about it. Rav Aaron Leib says, just to show you, it's God of Yisrael, right? I'm like Switzing, I'm about to faint, and Asher Yotze, whatever, right? You know, and he says, bring him something to drink, or whatever, right? So the Gabbai walks with me, you see, like, you know, all of a sudden everything changed, right? Now, when we came in, that these people are asking me Sheker, they're missing everything, they don't exist. And then Sheker, okay. So then the Gabbai comes and says to me, come, okay? As he's walking, now you have to remember one thing, it's very hot. Brain wasn't working, and I just got yelled at by the Gadol Ador, right? And he says to me, the Gabbai, now listen, if you understand the story, just wait till the end, okay? He says to me, Tzich Ladat, Poshoti Me'aberes. Poshoti Me'aberes. Right? Anybody know Hebrew? Anybody know Hebrew? Right? Anyone? Tzimashtimol, Tzimseitimol? Okay, what does it mean, Poshoti Me'aberes? It means, here we drink from the faucet. Okay, so, like this, no reaction from it, okay? The brain is not working, right? I turn to him, I say, Ma? Hey, drink from the faucet. Okay, now, what he meant was, right, the water, you American, is not filtered. This is not Perrier, right? This is Nishkein filter. There's no filter here, right? My brain was hearing, right? This is, my mama language is not Hebrew. Right? No reaction, I told you. The mama language is not Hebrew. So my reaction was, I drink from the faucet. These guys are nuts. Right? These guys are pushing crazy. Right? But because I was like in such a mode, and I was taka schwitzing, I was like red, and like the teeth were schwitzing, or whatever. Right? So I go, atabatua? You can? Zemashesh. Zemashesh. I went over to the faucet. Oh, my God. Right? Baruch. It was slow motion, everybody said. Elokeinu. Slow motion, everybody said. Everyone was going, you know, Kiddushanu, B'mitzvah Yisrael, B'tivanu, Shakol, right? B'tvaroi. And I drink, Ma! Ma does it. I go, Amata, she did my best. No. I'm poor audio, and I'm poor of our labor's laughing too. Right. That story had nothing to do with the story. Right. The water. I want to tell you about that kitchen. Let me tell you about that kitchen for a minute. Understand, God Lador. You know what's in that kitchen? Where's the fridge? Wait, you know too much, all right? Where's the fridge? I think the fridge was schwitzing or something. It's outside taking a beer, you know, right? Where's the fridge? There is no fridge. I go to the guy after this, you know, now I'm already, there's water all over the floor. It's actually got in the room over there. I go, where's the fridge? He goes, but I need a lechai for a mikar. Bo, come, right? It's a good thing those shoes not having a big trouble. Where's the fridge? Fridge, come. Takes me into the bedroom, right? And it was one of those, more dick, right? It's lime green. Remember that car from the 70s? Lime green with that silver thing that went like that. You know what I'm talking about? I can't do it. You have to, you know, I can draw it. Right? Lime green. I go, why is it in the bedroom? Why? I guess because it's out at night, so they want to open the door to the fridge, you know, to get in the air. Why is the fridge in the bedroom? So he tells me, because the Bachrim got together, right, and bought Rav Aaron Leib a fridge. Because he was the last guy left with an icebox. Okay? So they come home one day, fridge. So Rav Aaron Leib, when he walked into the house, he said, Ma'atem Asimli. Right? What are you doing? So they said, the Rashiva said, no, it's like normal to have a fridge. Nobody doesn't have a fridge. It's not like, okay, Moisers and whatever. It's the norm of the, right? So she said, no. He said, what if neighbors see I have this new fancy fridge, the Beamer of fridges? Lime green, right? It coughs when you open it. It coughs, right? But he's afraid that there's going to be a neighbor that's going to come up and see the Mercedes of fridges, right? I'm going to say, wow, I'm jealous, right? What's going to happen if somebody walks up, finally, around the neighbor's fridge, right? No. So he's only masking. You have to put it in the bedroom that nobody should see it. Okay? Murder, God will be Yisrael, because he's worried that somebody else is going to maybe see the fridge.
The Gabbai shows it off.
Yeah, the Gabbai shows it off. That's after God will Adar. And now it's lime green. Right? And it doesn't cough anymore, it sneezes. Right? Yeah. But, so, you know, God, let me tell you one more story. Right? One more story. Ah, so no time. But one more story. The last story. I brought up a Bachram to Rav Aaron Leib once, and they were asking him, Bachram, I think, from Torah. So they were asking about how to have Cheshik and Torah. So Rav Aaron Leib said, just the Musagim. Rav Aaron Leib said, by him, there's nothing except for Torah. It's so murdered. They didn't give him his Kotel check for 3 months. 40 years, 50 years ago, I don't know. They didn't give his Kotel check for 3 months. After 3 months, they gave him the check. They started giving him the check. So he said, no, give me, these two I don't need. Those 2 months, I was okay, right? I got by. So this one I'll take, but those two I don't need. I got by, right? So afterward, they asked his wife, "What did they do on the Shabbosis and whatever? What did they do? Like what they have? Because during the week, Zichr does not shayla, right? What did they do on Shabbos? So on Shabbos, we had bread, not the challah, we couldn't have challah, but we had bread, and it wasn't so stale. And chatzilim is art school will say gourd later, right? It's eggplant, right? And Friday night, it was baked. Shabbos day, it was cooked, right? Shalshus was leftovers there. So we made it. It's not the noshtag. It's a different, So anyways, so we asked him about, so one bacher said to him, how do you have like cheshik if you don't have cheshik in Torah? It's just musagin. So he said to him, is there anything that you love to eat? You know, something geschmack. It was like a geschmack of food. It's like, you know, what's our musagin? Sour sticks, Doritos. Right, go to the whatever over there, the little makolet box over there, you know, and tell me whatever's there, right? You know, and in musagim, if Aaron Leib says, you know, I'll say like fish. Like, you know, geschmack is used to food, you know, fish. So you like fish, why? And when you like fish, you eat more fish. Like people that don't like fish. I don't eat fish. Fish doesn't eat me. That's how we go. Right? And he's going about fish. You know, so you eat more. You like it. Yeah, so that's what Torah. So you learn more and more, and you like it. You like it. So one bacher said to Rav Aaron Leib, said, "Yeah, but you know, right? But I don't. Fish the first time you eat, it was like lumped us with Rav Aaron Leib, right? Fish when you eat it the first time, you like it, right? And I don't like it the first time. And good child, right? So Rav Aaron Leib said, "What can I tell you?" He said, "The Torah state that honey is that Torah is honey, right? The Torah is honey." He says, "Let's say you take honey." And you put it on your mouth, and you take honey, and you tell the person, "Oh, it tastes like so bitter. It's so bitter. It's so bitter, right?" So then illness, right? Because honey is sweet. Honey is sweet. There's no shayla honey sweet. And if when you put it in your mouth, it's bitter. Illness. Yeah, illness, right? So if you're putting in Torah into your mouth, it means that you have a machla in your mouth. In the stomach, like, no shtick. It's in the stomach you're speaking Lashon Hara, right? In the stomach, it's not shaykh, whatever. It's not shaykh. In the stomach, your eyes are looking, but Jewish eyes should not look, right? Shtick, right? One last story. So Rav Aaron Leib, no, because it's in the same Maimed. So Rav Aaron Leib said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, it's not that story, it's the Hamsha. Rav Aaron Leib statement said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally wanted to make a person with two mouths, one for Torah and one for Chol, one to speak Torah and one to speak, you know, business and whatever and this and that. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I'll make it together. It's a magic show. Put it together. And that way, the Torah, the mouth that you speak Torah in, so then in that mouth, you will be able to mekadesh your business and your gashmias and whatever. Okay. So he said, but manasa, if a person speaks with his whole mouth, he speaks with his mouth, he speaks Lashon Hara, he speaks Nivel Peh, he speaks this, he speaks that, whatever, right? So the halacha is that you're not allowed to daven in a toilet, right? In a bathroom, you can't daven. So the Torah that comes out of there and the tefillah comes out, it's Arbet Nash, it's a gate Nash. Murdek. Shtik Emes. Shtik Emes. Shabbos.
What?
That was halacha. That was my halacha. That was halacha.